Steves. We're going on the record right now for the hearing. We are on the record. Again, my name is Richard Steves. I'm the appointed special magistrate by the Hernando County Value Adjustment Board for this hearing, which I believe is going to pertain to petition 20-058. Petitioner, would you just go ahead and state your name again for the record?
Of course, Brad Mathidis with Altus Group.
Okay, and property appraisers?
Doug Mack.
Melissa Cullen.
Okay, Mr. Mathidis, sounds like you've been through this process before. Do you have any questions for me about my role or the VAD process here in Hernando County before we get started?
No, sir.
Okay, let's go ahead and swear everyone in for the hearing. Please raise your right hand. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth regarding the testimony you're about to give?
I do.
Okay. And this is Brad Mathidis, and I do.
Okay, terrific. All right, Ms. Cullen, you can go ahead and read the parcel number and values. Okay.
Brad, I'm just handing the special magistrate the same packet that I emailed you.
Okay, thank you.
So if you guys will turn to page 4, it's the property record card. The parcel number is R31223185210000030. Just bear with me here. Okay, if you'll turn to page 24, the just value and assessed value are exactly the same at $20,520,455. The taxable value is zero, and I just want the magistrate to know why, because I'm sure he's wondering why. This is owned by Hernando County, and Bayfront Spring Hill leases it from the county. The lessee is allowed to dispute the taxes because their rent is based on what their taxes would be.
Okay.
So, and it's automatically exempt whenever it's county owned. You can see I've included the whole property record card. Also on page 16 and 17, I've included aerial photographs of the hospital. Pages 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, and 23 are photographs of, that we have of all the structures.
Okay.
And on page 24, this is, like I said, Bayfront Spring Hill Hospital. It's located at 1461 Quality Drive, which is at the north side of Quality Drive in the northeast quadrant of County Line Road and Mariner Boulevard in Spring Hill. It has 14 usable acres, and you can see I've listed the year built and effective age for the various structures. The hospital, according to our records, has 140,381 leasable square feet. Now, I only completed a cost approach on the property. If you can turn to page 31, I have a comparable land sales chart, and I've used 3 sales, all located in Hernando County. The first one is a future ALF. The second one is a future storage, mini storage property and car wash site, which is actually very close to the subject. And the third one was rezoned for an ALF, but to date, I don't believe they have done anything with it. These properties sold from January of 18 to August of 19. They range in usable land area from 5.5 to 8.8 acres. And they have various zonings, but they're all more commercial oriented. You can see on sale 1 and sale 3, it includes congregate care facility, which is a zoning for an ALF, and then sale 2 is just a general commercial zoning. You'll please turn to page 32. I have adjusted the land sales for time, location, visibility, access, size and shape, and zoning. I came to a price per usable acre of $125,000 for a final value of $1,750,000. If you will go ahead and look at page 34. Now, I've had to, in order to fit this in here, do my cost approach on several pages. So you can see on page 34, there's six structures that comprise the subject property. Structures 1, 2, and 4 are hospital structures, and I used a Class C average quality hospital structure. And for these structures 1, 2, and 4, I have included a sprinkler adjustment. Structures 3, 5, and 6 are warehouse structures, and I've used a warehouse shell structure type Class C average quality. Structure 5, I used a low cost quality, and you can see the varying base costs, and I have included sprinkler adjustments on 3 and 5, and structure 3 is air conditioned, so I included that. You can see that I have done the multipliers for each of the structures and come to a building cost per square foot for each structure. If you turn to page 35, you can see the top half of this chart. These are the building improvement costs with the square foot laid out for each structure. Now there are, in addition to the, if you will, leasable square feet, additional square footage that would be included in the gross that I've only valued at a percentage of the base cost. And that comes to a total building improvement cost of $29,772,598. Then you can see below that where I have valued the site improvements that are on the property and come to a total building and site improvement cost of $30,193,453. On page 36, you can see that I've included 5% for indirect costs and another 7% for entrepreneurial incentive. And I have come to total direct and indirect costs and entrepreneurial incentive of $33,922,344. Excuse me. Under depreciation, I show the 22% depreciation for the building and 74% for the site improvements. And after deducting the depreciation and adding in the land value, I come to a final value of $28,810,940. And the remainder of my packet just includes the property record cards for the land sales, my credentials, some legal information, as well as the Marshall Valuation Service pages that I used.
All right, Mr. Mathidis, how is
it? Brad? Mathidis.
I'm here.
You can go ahead. I've got your evidence okay. In front of me here.
Okay, thank you. So this is a, it should be 28 pages. In total.
Okay.
And Melissa, and just say at the front, Melissa and I had conversations, prior to the hearing, and we appreciate, Hernando County's availability to discuss the assessment and the conversations that we had, prior to the hearing. So we I work for a group called Altus Group. Even though our name changed about 7 years ago, our company's been doing hospital valuation and consulting work for almost 25 years. It's just kind of the medical real estate industry, broad brush, hospitals included is something that we've done for a long time. And so in terms of Spring Hill and other hospitals, we do consider sales and income approaches to value hospital. Those usually include both the sales and the income generated from a hospital include a lot of service-based income. And so it lends itself, to values or price per unit comparisons that, you know, have a lot of intangible, oftentimes have a lot of intangible value included in them. And so the tax approach for us is deemed the most reliable with plenty of evidence out there, information to be able to value the property properly using a cost approach. So we consider it, we consider the cost approach the most reliable. It doesn't, in, the cost approach is unique and doesn't require a lot of adjustments, you know, that the federal approach would use or extractions of different types of income that the income cuts would use. And it's also pretty widely accepted for valuing hospital real estate. On page two of my analysis, and so down in the bottom right-hand corner, it will say page two. That we have two tables there. One describes the hospital as 143,381 square feet. Like Melissa said, 14 acres, 124 licensed beds. The original year of construction was 1991, and the square foot per licensed bed is 1,156. That 1,156 number, just kind of by comparison, most hospitals today are built with about 2,500 to 3,000 square feet per bed. There's just a lot more space per bed in hospitals nowadays. In the second table on that page, we list the different years of construction by square feet to determine a weighted age, not effective age, but weighted age of the facility. And so the weighted age is about 27 years. We use an effective age in the report of 25 years. And so that's just to say that this hospital has not enjoyed a significant amount of renovations or additions that its competitors or the other hospitals enjoy. On page four of the analysis, so bottom right hand corner, page four, with regard to land, you know, what basically what we believe is that the assessor's office by and far have a lot of land sales upon which to base the value of the land. The value of the land is, as we show it, when it was noticed, maybe this comes off the trim, was $580,125. But there again, by and far, we trust that when the property is noticed out in terms of its value, that the property appraiser has reviewed, you know, enough land sales to adequately determine the value of the land in that market. So we did not do an independent land study. We employed the assessor's land values in our approach. Let's see here. Between pages 4 and 10, basically what we do is we come up with an RCN for the facility. We're looking at this facility, Spring Hill, as an A average facility, Class A rank average. So on page 5 of that analysis, you'll see kind of the breakdown of that, the RCN, the different local and time multipliers. And so we arrive at a base cost, a replacement cost new of $335 a square foot. On pages 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10, those are the backup pages from Marshall and Swift that we use for that. On page 11, we begin talking about depreciation. We use the age life method, and so that requires an effective age divided by economic life. As I said before, we're using an effective age of about 25 years. Economic life for us is triangulated by about three different sources. Marshall and Swift suggest about 45 years. You'll see on page 11, actually, general hospitals have a physical life of 35 to 50. Under the classification of A, it's about 45. The second source that we use for building lives of hospitals is the American Hospital Association, and they recommend a 40-year life for hospitals. And then the last source on pages 12 through 14, what you'll see is a hospital closure list. And really what this is on pages 12 and 13 is a list of hospitals that have been either three things, closed, replaced, closed or replaced, I'm forgetting the third one, I probably wrote it in here, but what you'll see there is that on average among just, you know, that list, is that the economic life of hospital is about 34 years. And essentially what happens is once they get old like that, they either do something physically to the plant to bring it up to speed, or they replace it with another hospital. And so we use a 40-year life. That's kind of the conclusion of that. On page 15, we include the source document from the American Hospital Association showing the 40-year life. On page 16, we begin talking about external obsolescence. Really, that section prior covers physical and functional. On page 16, we start talking about external obsolescence. And so we feel like external obsolescence in Spring Hill's case is both qualified, and then we go through the process of quantifying it. The qualification comes from the fact that it is the lowest occupied hospital, the lowest occupied general acute care hospital in Hernando County. It is reported underneath another, or with another hospital. CHF owns two in this community, one in Brooksville and one in Spring Hill. And the financial ledger or whatever is the same for both these facilities. And that occupancy combined is about 44-45%. Its strongest competitor is Oak Hill, which is an HCA facility, and it is 83% occupied. The average of those is 65%. And so kind of what we're looking at there in terms of at least a quantification of where it stands in the market is either about 20% below market or about 40% below its strongest competitor. And within the Brooksville and Spring Hill hospitals, I believe Spring Hill is likely very much lower occupied than Brooksville, because Brooksville is a much newer hospital than Spring Hill. On page 17, we go through basically that complete analysis. $335 a square foot is $381 is almost $50 million in replacement costs new. 25-year effective age divided by 40-year life is 62.5% appreciation for at least physical, if not physical and functional. And then we have a calculation, an external obsolescence deduction of $3.8 million. That $3.8 million is described in the middle table of page 17. And I won't walk you through that. The only thing that I'll say is that we do not double dip on the depreciation. We take the current replacement cost and less depreciation before we extract that obsolescence. That renders a value in that top table, a market value of about $14,760,000, close to $15 million. From which we take a cost of sale adjustment of 15% to about $2.2 million to arrive at a just value by the cost approach of $12 million, about $550,000. And anyway, I know that there's debate about the cost of sale adjustment. We've seen it employed in some cases, and so I employed it here. And, you know, to the special magistrate, that obviously kind of falls under your purview as to what you do with that. The last part of our package, pages 18 through 28, is basically all about depreciation. Let's see here real quick. I tried to simplify this. I just didn't include this. The basis of these pages has to do in large part with the idea that the rapid changes in medical care and its delivery through hospitals can render hospitals or areas of hospitals obsolete. Marshall and Swift update their costs every month. However, their depreciation tables, which are on pages 27, bottom right-hand corner, page 27. I think in the far upper left-hand corner it says December of 16. There is actually one newer, and I think Melissa may have included that in her package. It is the same. The December 16 and December 18 depreciation tables from Marshall are the same. But the point in noting this particular section is on page 26. On page 26, we actually went out to, was in Los Angeles, now Irvine, California, to visit with Marshall and Swift at their corporate headquarters to research exactly how they come up with their depreciation tables. And they pointed us to a basically a file folder within one of the many floors that they have to get cost information nationwide. They pointed us to a small file folder that contained their information on depreciation, from which we were able to find the August 1968 depreciation tables for non-residential properties. And I'll just go ahead and tell you, it is identical to the one that is in the 2018 information. And so it is at least 50 years old. They told us that it's actually adopted not by Marshall and Swift, but those tables come from a document made in the 1930s or 50s. And so we believe that while even Marshall and Swift in their manual says that you can use this as a guide or a tool, that is all that it should be used for. And so we don't feel like absolute reliance upon Marshall and Swift, especially for a hospital, hospitals just change a lot. I'll just say this, when hospitals were originally built back in the, 70s and 80s, they were built to house patients for periods of time, for days. And nowadays, of course, outpatient care is, the rule of the day, and they don't need a lot of those types of beds or space that they built so many years ago. And also some of those spaces within a hospital change. A neighborhood can go through kind of a gentrification process where they're having babies in one or two decades, and then heart, conditions another one or two decades or something like that. And so some of that space is obsolete. The other thing I'll say about depreciation on hospitals is that hospitals are run 24/7. This isn't like a warehouse or, an office building or something like that that gets used for about anywhere from 8 to 16 hours a day. They're used 24/7, and so they lend themselves to a lot more wear and tear and use and change. And so, but that's pages 18 through 28. The last two or three pages of this, I simply describe the difference between using age life depreciation versus a Marshall depreciation table and what straight line depreciation looks like in terms of, an accounting process. Because a lot of people, used to say, of course, appraisers, most real estate people understand the difference between straight line and age life, but a lot of people don't. But I include, three or four pages to explain the differences between that and there. That's it.
Okay, imagine you guys have some comments.
This will be very quick. So I'm just going to ask the special magistrate, when you're reviewing both their evidence and my evidence, and I've marked the page numbers in his, pages 2 and pages 5, there's a lot of vast differences in how we prepared our cost approach of his packet. Yes. So there's a lot of differences as far as the subject data, the square footage. They use the Class A, we use the Class C building. multipliers used, things like that. So I would just ask that, you know, in your decision, compare and contrast those two. Does that make sense what I'm trying to say? Without going through each line item?
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking here. Your improvements added up to $140,000, right? And his were $143,000?
Yes.
Otherwise, he's broken down the improvements, you know, similar structures like you, but then he put them all in one line item to do the cost approach.
Yeah, and you know, again, without going through every single thing, you know, I noticed some discrepancies on, I felt like, some of the multipliers, you know, the climate and the sprinkler adjustments, and he applied them across the board, and I broke mine out to the specifics for each structure. That's all I'm saying is, I'm not saying either way is necessarily the right way, the wrong way, but you to consider, you know, looking at
right at
all of that. And just so that the magistrate knows, because I know you're not from this county, so we have three major hospitals in the county. And I think Brad did a good job of explaining some of it. But basically, the one that is the subject of this petition is located on the very south side of the county, near Mariner and County Line Road, kind of, I would say, in the west, more west but central portion of the county. The Brooksville Hospital, that's also the same entity but different hospital, is kind of towards more of the central eastern portion of the county, heading down Highway 50 into downtown Brooksville. And then Oak Hill, which is, I won't disagree with Brad, is the best hospital in the county that he was doing the comparison on the obsolescence. That's located on Highway 50 in, you know, a very heavily populated, busy area on more of the west side of the county. So just kind of so you understand that. The only other thing I wanted to bring up is that if you, or actually two other things, if you look at his economic obsolescence amount of, I think it was 21.2 something percent, and actually even deduct that from my final value, my value would still support our assessed value. Does that make sense what I'm trying to, okay. And then finally, Brad, I know you, I tell the magistrate this in every hearing, but I'm going to say it so it's on the record with you on the phone. The way that we look at cost of sale, of course, is in a stratum within a grouping, and it's the way our office perceives it is that it's based on when a property sells, the, you know, cost of sale or the cost that would be shown on the closing statement, where if you look at a closing statement, you know, some of them are flat fees and some of them are percentage based on the sale price. So based on my experience and looking at closing statements, if you have a property that's worth or being sold for $100,000, it might have 15% cost of sale. But if you have one that's selling for $1 million or $5 million, that cost of sale might be more like 3%, 5%, or 7%. So it can vary based on the sale price of the property, which is why we group them. And DOR asks us to group them in groupings or stratums, and we don't automatically deduct a 15% amount across the board. Does that make sense, Brad?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am, it does. I appreciate the explanation. Yeah.
And that's all I have.
I have a quick question about your cost approach, Mr. Mathias.
Yes, sir.
On page 17, I'm just trying to figure out, it says replacement cost new, including profit, but I'm looking for the profit on page 5, where you break down the per square foot number.
In fact, I was looking for that myself because that's usually where I include it. And so it's not included there.
Okay.
It's not included there. So that is, that including profit, I believe in this particular package of information, is a typo.
Okay.
I would just add on that we've only recently begun to add that profit. Traditionally, hospitals are built by owner-operators, and the way profit was explained to us by the hospital operators that build these facilities is that they basically just, the profit comes in the operation of the business years after it's, some years after it's completed. However, we understand that by and far most review boards, courts, appraisers are looking for that number, and so we have begun just in the last couple of years, you know, to add 5%. We've offered that explanation in the past, but most people are not satisfied with that. You know, Marshall and Swift does include developers' profit in the replacement cost new of hospitals, but not entrepreneurial profit.
Okay. I don't have any other questions.
I don't either. I'm good.
Anything else, Mr. Mathias, before we conclude the hearing?
No, sir. I'm good. Just thank you again, Melissa, for explaining everything and for working with me prior to the hearing.
Yes, and Brad, thank you for being such a pleasure to work with.
No problem.
All right, thank you. We'll conclude the hearing and go off the record.